ever feel like, you know, the God of the Old Testament with all those battles and conquests, he's a completely different being from the God of love and forgiveness in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Well, you're not alone. That's exactly what we're diving into today. The concept of God as a warrior and how that idea plays out across the whole Bible.
Yeah, it's a fascinating and often challenging topic.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at excerpts from Session 5 of God as a Warrior by Dr. Tremper Longman.
Okay.
A leading Old Testament scholar.
Right.
He actually breaks down God's war against evil into 5 distinct phases.
5 phases?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm intrigued. But before we get into all that, what I really struggle with is this idea that God could be both a warrior and a God of love.
Right.
It feels like a contradiction.
It definitely can feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some scholars have tried to reconcile this by essentially separating the Old Testament God from the New Testament God.
So they're saying the Old Testament God is the angry one.
Right.
And the New Testament God is the nice one. That seems a little simplistic.
It is. And Dr. Longman pushes back on that idea. He argues that God is consistently depicted as both loving and just throughout the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He points to the fact that God acts as judge in both the Old and New Testaments.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that God changes.
Right.
It's more about how his justice is revealed and carried out in different contexts.
That makes sense. But what about all the violence in the Old Testament? How does that fit in with the idea of a loving God?
Yeah, Dr. Longman acknowledges this is a difficult issue, but he brings in the idea of holy war.
Okay.
Where God, as the ultimate authority, commands the Israelites to conquer certain nations as a form of judgment against their wickedness.
So it's not just about conquest for the sake of territory or power.
Right.
It's about God upholding justice.
Exactly. Dr. Longman argues that these wars were specific to the time and context and were meant to address the extreme depravity of those nations.
Okay.
Particularly the practice of child sacrifice.
That's a pretty horrific practice. I can see why God would be against that. But it still feels uncomfortable to think about God commanding such violence.
It is a difficult concept, and there's no easy answer. Dr. Longman points to a powerful quote from Miroslav Volf, a theologian who experienced the horrors of the Balkan War firsthand. Volf came to believe that a God who wasn't wrathful in the face of such evil would be a God unworthy of worship.
Wow, that's really making me think. So are you saying that God's anger is actually a sign of his love?
Mm.
That he cares so much about justice that he can't stand to see evil go unpunished?
That's one way to look at it. It's not that God enjoys inflicting punishment, but rather that his holiness and justice demand a response to evil.
Okay, I think I'm starting to wrap my head around this a bit more. But how does this warrior God concept translate to the New Testament? Jesus doesn't exactly go around leading armies and conquering nations.
That's right. Dr. Longman highlights a crucial shift in the New Testament. The focus moves from physical warfare to spiritual warfare. He argues that we are now in the phase of spiritual warfare, where the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil.
So we're talking about demons and angels and that kind of thing?
It's more than just that. Dr. Longman explains that spiritual warfare also encompasses the internal battle within ourselves, the struggle against sin and temptation.
You mean like when I know I should eat a salad, but reach for the pizza instead?
Exactly. Those everyday choices we make are part of this spiritual battle. But the good news is that we're not fighting alone. Dr. Longman points to Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God to stand firm against these spiritual attacks.
Yeah.
Our weapons are things like prayer, faith, and the word of God.
So it's more about inner strength and relying on God than about going out and fighting literal battles?
Right.
That's a relief, but I'm still curious. If we're supposed to be spiritual warriors, what does that actually look like in practice?
That's a great question, and it's something we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
But before we move on, let me ask you this. What stands out to you so far about this idea of God as a warrior? What's challenging you or making you think differently?
You know, I have to admit, this whole conversation about God as a warrior, it's really shifted my perspective.
Mm.
I'm starting to see how it's not about physical violence,
right,
but about this ongoing struggle against evil, both in the world and within ourselves.
That's a key insight.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that even in the Old Testament,
yeah,
where we see those accounts of physical battles,
yeah,
there are hints of this spiritual warfare that becomes more prominent in the New Testament.
Oh, like what? Give me an I love finding those hidden connections in the Bible.
Well, think about the plagues against Egypt.
Yeah.
Dr. Longman suggests that those weren't just about freeing the Israelites.
Right.
They were also God's victory over the gods of Egypt.
Wait, you mean like the actual Egyptian gods, like Ra and Anubis and all those?
Exactly. Some scholars believe those gods represented spiritual forces,
yeah.
perhaps even demonic influences behind the scenes. So when God brought those plagues, it was a way of showing his power over those spiritual forces.
That's a fascinating take. It makes the story even more intense. Like, there's this whole cosmic battle happening behind the scenes.
Right. And there's another example in the book of Daniel.
Okay.
There's a passage where the angel Gabriel is delayed by the prince of the Persian kingdom.
Okay, now that sounds like something straight out of a fantasy novel. What's going on there?
It seems to be describing some kind of spiritual conflict happening in the heavenly realms, a battle between the angelic forces that was affecting events on Earth.
So even in the Old Testament, we see glimpses of this spiritual warfare that we're called to engage in today. But if we're not fighting with swords and spears, how do we actually fight these spiritual battles?
That's where those spiritual weapons we talked about come.
Okay.
Prayer, faith, and the Word of God.
Okay, but how do those things actually work? It's not like I can just quote a Bible verse at a demon and expect it to disappear, right?
Well, it's not always that simple.
Right.
But the idea is that these spiritual disciplines connect us to God's power. Prayer allows us to align ourselves with God's will and invite his intervention in our lives and in the world.
So it's like calling in reinforcements from headquarters.
Exactly. And faith is about trusting in God's promises and his power.
Yeah.
Even when we don't see immediate results, it's about holding on to hope in the midst of difficult circumstances.
And what about the Word of God? How does that factor into the fight?
Think of the Bible as our battle strategy. It reveals God's character, his plans, and his promises. It also exposes the enemy's tactics and gives us guidance on how to resist temptation and overcome evil.
So it's like our intel report and our training manual all rolled into one.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But remember, spiritual warfare isn't just about fighting external forces.
Right.
It's also about the battle within ourselves, the struggle against sin and temptation.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that earlier. It's like that constant tug of war between what we know is right and what we feel like doing.
Exactly. And Dr. Longman points to the Apostle Paul's experience in Romans 7,
okay.
where he describes his own inner struggle with sin. Mm-hmm. He talks about wanting to do what is right, but finding himself doing what he hates.
Man, I can relate to that. It's like I have this good angel and this bad angel on my shoulders constantly whispering in my ears.
We all experience that to some degree.
Yeah.
But the good news is that we don't have to fight this battle alone. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit within us, empowering us to make choices that align with God's will.
So it's like having God's warrior spirit living inside of us, giving us the strength to resist temptation.
That's a powerful way to think about it. And when we surrender to the Holy Spirit's guidance, we tap into God's power to overcome sin and live a life that brings him glory.
Okay, so I'm starting to get a better grasp on the how of spiritual warfare.
Right.
But the question that keeps nagging at me is, why? Why is there so much spiritual warfare in the first place? Why does evil seem to have so much power in the world?
That's a question theologians and philosophers have wrestled with for centuries. But Dr. Longman offers an intriguing perspective. He suggests that we're living in a world that's still under the influence of sin and rebellion. A world where God's kingdom hasn't fully come into its own.
So it's like we're living in this in-between time
yeah.
where good and evil are still battling it out for supremacy.
Exactly. We see this tension throughout history.
Yeah.
This clash between light and darkness, truth and lies, love and hate.
But if God is all powerful, why doesn't he just wipe out evil once and for all? Why all this struggle and suffering?
That's where the mystery of God's sovereignty and human free will comes in. God has chosen to give us the freedom to choose him or reject him,
right.
to align ourselves with his purposes or rebel against them.
So he's allowing the spiritual battle to play out as part of his grand plan.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that God is not passive in this battle. He is actively working to redeem his creation and bring about his ultimate victory over evil.
I'm glad to hear that. But what about all the pain and suffering that happens in the meantime?
Right.
How can we reconcile that with a God who loves us?
That's a tough question, and I don't have all the answers.
Right.
But Dr. Longman reminds us that God is not immune to our suffering.
Okay.
He entered into our world in the person of Jesus, who experienced the full weight of human pain and suffering, even death on a cross.
So God understands our pain because he's experienced it himself.
Absolutely. And because of Jesus' victory over death, we have the hope of eternal life, where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, and no more spiritual warfare.
That's a comforting thought.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we still have to live in this world where spiritual battles are raging all around us. So how do we live as warriors of God in the midst of all this chaos?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's something we'll delve into more deeply in the final part of our deep dive.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up this segment, I want to challenge you with this thought. What are the specific battles that God might be calling you to fight?
Ooh, now that's a thought-provoking question. I think I need some time to process that one. But before we dive into part three, let's recap some of the key insights we've uncovered so far. We've seen how the concept of God as a warrior isn't about physical violence, but about spiritual warfare, both in the world and within ourselves. We've explored the spiritual weapons we can wield in this battle: prayer, faith, and the Word of God. And we've begun to grapple with the difficult question of why evil exists and how we can reconcile that with a loving God. Honestly, that question you left us with, it's a little intimidating. What battles is God calling me to fight? Where do I even begin?
It is a question that can feel overwhelming, but I think Dr. Longman would encourage us to start by looking at the areas where we see injustice, brokenness, and spiritual darkness, you know, in our own lives and in the world around us.
So not necessarily grabbing a sword and shield, but maybe more like putting on those metaphorical pieces of armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians?
Exactly. Remember, our weapons are spiritual, not physical. We're called to engage in this battle with prayer, faith, the Word of God, and by embodying love, truth, and justice in our everyday lives.
Okay, that makes sense. But can you give me some specific examples? What might this look like in practice?
Well, think about the areas where you feel passionate about making a difference. It could be advocating for those who are marginalized or oppressed, fighting against poverty or injustice in your community, or simply striving to live a life of integrity and compassion in your relationships.
So it's not about becoming some kind of superhero, but about finding those places where we can make a real difference, even in small ways.
Exactly. And remember those ripple effects we talked about earlier. Even seemingly small acts of kindness, courage, and compassion can have a significant impact, especially when they're fueled by prayer and faith.
I love that image of ripples spreading outward, creating waves of change. But what about those internal battles we talked about, the ones against sin and temptation? What does it look like to fight those?
That's where those spiritual disciplines become even more crucial. We need to be intentional about cultivating a close relationship with God through prayer, studying the Bible, and surrounding ourselves with a community of believers who can support us in our journey.
So it's like building up our spiritual immune system, strengthening our defenses against those internal attacks.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And when we're rooted in God's love and equipped with His Word, we're better able to resist temptation, make wise choices, and walk in freedom.
But what about those times when we stumble? When we give in to temptation or make choices we regret? Does that mean we're failing as spiritual warriors?
Not at all. We all stumble and fall at times. The important thing is to get back up, confess our sins, receive God's forgiveness, and keep pressing forward. Remember, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Christ has already won the ultimate battle over sin and death.
That's so encouraging. It takes the pressure off knowing that we don't have to be perfect. We just have to keep showing up, keep fighting the good fight, and keep relying on God's grace.
Exactly. And as we do that, we'll find that God is faithful to equip us, empower us, and guide us every step of the way. He's not a distant observer. He's right there in the trenches with us, fighting for us and alongside us.
This whole conversation has really challenged me to rethink my understanding of what it means to be a warrior of God. It's not about violence or aggression, but about courage, compassion, and a willingness to stand up for truth and justice in a world that desperately needs it.
And remember, even in the midst of the battles, we can rest in the assurance that God is ultimately in control and His victory is our victory. We may not always see the immediate results, but we can trust that our efforts are making a difference, however small they may seem.
What a powerful reminder. It gives me a renewed sense of purpose and hope, knowing that I have a role to play in God's grand story of redemption.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I would encourage you to continue reflecting on those questions we've explored today.
Yeah.
What battles is God calling you to fight? How can you wield those spiritual weapons in your everyday life? And how can you rest in the assurance of God's victory, even in the midst of the struggles?
Those are great questions to ponder. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into the concept of God as a warrior. It's been challenging, thought-provoking, and ultimately incredibly inspiring.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
All right.
Remember, you are not alone in this battle. God is with you, fighting for you and alongside you. And His victory is your victory.
Until next time, fellow deep divers, keep seeking truth, keep asking questions, and keep fighting the good fight.